Sunday, October 23rd, 2011.
It's the best blog weekend show. Hop on board, we'll take you where you wanna go. We're heading out to Lakeshore Drive. Football makes us feel so.
Foggy day in London town.
Little Frank Sinatra to send us into the London game, the ridiculous, irrelevant nuisance that is the London game. I heard a lot of people picking this game based on the travel schedules. And if you want to have a football game between two teams that are competing for a playoff spot, you really want that to come down to travel schedules. I have not spent a lot of time this week talking about the contract situations facing the Chicago Bears, though clearly it has been a preoccupation of the Chicago media. I have also cut out Chicago Radio, the Tribune, and the Sun-Times from my life. Why? It makes me a happier Bears fan to just watch the games, evaluate them myself, write about them myself, and see what people are saying on Twitter. Those same writers. That way, if I want to read what they've written, I'll look at their little link on Twitter, I'll see if it's interesting to me, and I'll move on. Here's why I haven't talked about the contract disputes. I don't give a shit. These are millionaires, and I don't give a shit how much money they make. It doesn't matter to me. And I can't take Lance Briggs seriously. I can't take Lance Briggs, a guy who's having his worst professional career, I can't take him seriously. Ask him for a pay raise. I can't take him seriously when 3 months ago he was saying Chris Harris should get an extension, and Chris Harris has been brutal this year. I can't take Briggs seriously. Now, on the Forte issue, I'm willing to admit I was wrong. Forte is a better running back than I ever thought he was. He is a better player than I ever thought he was. And I think the contract's going to get done. If you think the Bears are going to trade Matt Forte, you are a psychopath. If you think the Bears aren't going to sign Matt Forte to an extension, you are a psychopath. He's a terrific player. The deal will get done. Let's get right to the picks contest. A few things to note about the contest. Each week on the screen there, you see that I identify who had perfect weeks, and I just give you standings. You guys should double check me on this stuff. If you think you got a perfect week and I didn't give you credit for it, you got to drop me an email and let me know. A few of you have done that, and I've made those changes. Just let me know, because there's some great prizes at stake now from Backyard Birdhouse, from Fisheye Vertigo, and from the Crispy Creations. I mean, you're going to get a cool little gift bag full of stuff here if you win this contest, so make sure that I'm getting them right. I went 2-1 last week with the picks as Cam Newton decided to have his worst game of the year. My brothers both went 2-1 as well. John's 12-5-1. Chris and I are 11-6-1. Go take a look around the sports media at people picking against the spread. Now, we don't pick every game, but just look at percentages and you'll see. My brothers and I are doing a pretty damn good job right now picking football games. I've also been betting some of these, so I'm doing okay in the wallet. As we head to week number 7, as Mike Francesa would say, in the league where they play for pay.
Picking and we're picking and we're picking all night, gonna. Hey, picking and we're picking all night, gonna. Picking and we're picking all night, and we're gonna picking all night, gonna picking all night, gonna picking all night, all right. We're gonna make the picks. So John, Jeff, and Chris gonna make the picks. Sometimes the boys going 3-0. Sometimes the boys going to dose and do. Most of the time we'll be mediocre.
This week, the champ takes a risk. I'm going to make my picks based on very, very, very silly reasons. First pick is the only non-silly one. Bears, minus a point and a half, over the Bucks in London. I'm taking the better team to win. I think the Bears are the better team. I laid out all the reasons for you on Thursday. I won't go over them again. I will say this. The Bears should be able to run it. They should be able to stop the run. That should be enough. I pick them by, I think, a couple of touchdowns. I'll stay with that. Bears, minus 1.5. Game 2 is something I never thought I would do in my whole life. I'm betting Tim Tebow. Here's what's happening in Miami on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Tim Tebow is making a start against a team that has basically already quit on their season. Tim Tebow's team also would like to quit on that season, but they've got Tim Tebow playing quarterback. So you can rest assured, Tim Tebow will care more about that game than anybody else on the field. Now let's forget about on the field for a second. In order to sell tickets to this game, the Miami Dolphins decided to make it Gator Day, where they're celebrating, get this, the 2008 Florida Gators, quarterbacked by, Tim Tebow! The whole crowd is going to be there to see Tebow. It's going to be like going to church and Tebow's the minister. Tebow's fired up. Broncos win outright. Score 600-4. Something religious. Tebow! Last pick. I've talked myself in and out of this Chargers-Jets game 100 times, so I'm staying away from it. Give me the Colts Sunday night, plus 14 against the Saints. One reason, and one reason only, that I am picking this game is that I want a reason to watch it. And I can't come up with a conceivable reason to watch it, so if I pick the point spread, plus 14 points, I now have a reason to watch it. And the picks, Bears, Colts, and Tebow! The amusement park rather more star. Kids are up on the beach in the mix. Chris's picks.
Okay, week number 7 of the NFL season, and I'm back and I'm making my picks. Apparently my boys have been making my picks behind my back for the last 3 weeks, but they did real well going 7-1-1. So I decided to keep them around for good luck this time. Hey guys, I gotta go pee. Pause the recorder.
Okay, Dad. Hey, it's Lucas, Owen, and our little brother Nate, who's 4. And we gotta get this done quickly before our dad gets back. Pick number 1! Steelers minus 3.5 over the Cardinals. The Steelers will crush the Cardinals. The Cardinals' defense is horrible, and the Steelers stopped the pass real well. Big day coming from Roethlisberger, Mendenhall, and Wallace. Steelers minus 3.5. Pick number 2! Lions minus 3 over the Falcons. Megatron gets back on the touchdown train this week, and the Lions will be fired up over the emotional loss from last week. You can throw on the Falcons' defense and expect a big day for Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson. Take the Lions minus 3. Pick number 3. Ravens minus 8 over the Jaguars. The Jaguars are garbage. The Ravens beat a much better Texans team by 15 points last week. This is going to be ugly as long as Flacco doesn't suck. There will be a lot of Ravens on Monday night. Ravens minus 8.
Hi, this is Nate. Here are his picks. Lions minus D. D is minus 3.5. Ravens minus 8.
The kids got this week covered.
All right, I'm done. Let's get ready to the... Hey! What are you guys doing?
Oh, gotta go fly.
John's picks.
In an effort to break my streak this week, my losing streak, I decided to put my picks in the hands of the person in my life that matters most, my waitress at Ruby Tuesdays. She loves the Ravens, the Texans, and the Bears. Be sure to check out Ruby's Seafood Festival. It's delicious. Have a great day.
That, my friends, is authentic laughter, because I don't hear these picks until I'm actually putting them into the show. And that little thing there by John got me pretty good. There's a long story about why I mock John for loving Ruby Tuesdays, but it's not really worth telling. All right, the picks for this week. Remember, you cannot duplicate the picks below. I got the Bears, Broncos, and Colts. Take that back. I got the Bears, Tebow, and Colts. Steelers, Ravens, and Lions for Chris. Ravens, Texans, and Bears for John. News of the weird. How much does a pirate pay for corn? A buccaneer. It's a good thing this match is being played in London, home of the English Premier League, because the Tampa Bay Bucks have one hell of a striker in LeGarrette Blount. Hey, anybody know where Aurelius has been? The Reverend's rant often contains foul language and is not intended for children or for you. Yeah, you know who you are.
So, I was all set to bitch about Lovey's piss-poor management of the safety position throughout his tenure, and how infuriating I find it that, yet again, people are celebrating the fact that March was finally forced to fucking play to the strengths of the team. But then I saw Dan Pompey's article on Cutler's lack of leadership, and all that other inanity faded away. You stupid motherfucker, Dan. For those of you who haven't read it, Dano attacks Cutler, saying he's not a leader because he told March, fuck you, during last week's game. That means, of course, he lacks the respect and self-control necessary for a leader. Are you shitting me? In the first graph, Danny Boy says in his world, he doesn't often get to hear a subordinate talk that way to his boss. Well, no shit, Sherlock. You're a crappy columnist in a dying industry. Your world is nothing like that of a professional athlete. I'm sorry, but I fucking hate this crap. This fucking Rick Rileyfication of sports writing. All these assholes like Rick and Dano and Peter King waxing rhapsodic about some never-existed Prairie Home Companion era of sports where all athletes were good, God-fearing farm boys who said their prayers, ate their vitamins, and nodded dutifully to their coaches. They think the whole fucking sports world should be fucking Field of Dreams. Well, I got news for you, Danny Boy. You ain't no Terrence Mann. So drop the pretensions and quit interspersing your sanctimonious bullshit with quotes from great leaders like Aristotle, Bear Bryant, and Napoleon. Are you shitting me? Really? Dano, are you honestly fucking telling me that when Marshall Ney was slow at Quatre Bras, that Napoleon addressed the situation respectfully on the sideline? That's fucking stupid. You don't take over Europe by being courteous, you take it over by putting the fear of fucking God in those under you so they will break themselves to avoid your wrath. The best part, though, is really the way Pompey tries to talk away the obvious counterpoints of Brady and Manning. Those two are regularly flated by announcers for the intensity they show on the field when their teammates fuck up. Dano distinguishes the situation by saying as four-time MVP, Manning has earned the right to bully. Since when was it about right? The premise of your article is that yelling at teammates makes you an immature and ineffective leader, not that there's some mystical quota of MVP trophies that you have to meet before you get the right to be an asshole. And I can't say I've ever heard Jay calling his teammates an idiot in front of the press. Last week, Jay started pushing back publicly in March's offense, and during the game, he told him to fuck off. And you know what happened? We won. Soundly. So until Jay actually tries to choke March out on the sidelines, Dano, you need to put the fucking quote book away.
And I think Dave perfectly wraps up there what I started in the opening, which is, if you want to be a fan now of this football team, I'm telling you, don't waste your time reading these guys anymore. Read Biggs, read Jensen over in the Sun-Times. Don't bother with these columnists. They are not worth it. They'll piss you off more than they'll enlighten you. They're not very bright. They're not good writers. It's not worth your time. Watch the games, evaluate them yourself, read the beat writers for information, and talk to your buddies. That's the way to be a fan of this team. The media situation around the Chicago Bears right now is as bad as it's been since I've been a fan. I kind of miss Mariotti. At least he knew he was an asshole. That's our show for this week. Thanks for listening again. We have a lot of fun making it for you. If you're going to drink this weekend while you're watching the Bears beat the Bucks, please don't drive a car. Because that's what dickheads do. Enjoy. Tally! Vallejo! T-ball! It's the best blog weekend show.